across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, this is me, Virginie Chanté, and I'm not alone in the studio. Small studio today. We are in Studio B, which haven't been for, I don't know, probably a year. Remind me when I was doing 105 Today every morning in there. But anyway, we are just squeezed together. Good morning, guys. Can you tell me who you are?
I'm Molly from Cambridge Youth Panel.
Yeah.
And I'm Phil from CAMS Youth Panel.
Can you come closer to the microphone?
Sorry.
I know we have to squeeze everybody. So, Phil, you are our neighbourhood police surgeon in South Cambridgeshire.
Yes.
And you are here to talk about a project called Arms Around the World.
That's right.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, sure. So we started, and Molly was one of the original members of the group, we started the youth panel in, it's about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, well, if you go back to like 2018, to February 2018, it was actually Valentine's Day, and there was a really horrific school shooting in Florida. In Parkland at the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. And there's a really horrific tragedy where 17 people were killed at that school. And we were starting to turn our attention and focus on knife crime and serious street-based violence in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And knife crime's taken a lot of headlines here. Certainly since that period of time, the two things have kind of run in parallel. So we started doing some work to reach out to that school because of the fact that we were so inspired by what some of their students did in the wake of their own personal tragedy, that we wanted to see if actually we could work together on an international basis towards the same sort of ends, because I think all any of us want is to have safe schools, you know, and to have safe environments for young people to grow up in. So we started doing some work, we started talking to students over there, and we started pulling a project together, and we decided that we were going to take on the significant sort of goal of trying to raise enough money to bring a team of young people across from Florida
to come here
and speak in our schools about what they've been through.
Wow. So can you tell us more about you? So how old are you?
I'm 16.
So you're 16, Molly. You just had your GCSE, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Was it good? Happy with the results?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm very happy.
And good. Well done.
Thank you.
Good for you. Good for you. How did you met Phil the first time? When was that? And do you remember, was Phil coming to your school and speak to the school? Or how did you meet together?
It's actually quite a funny story.
It is.
Me and Fran were accused of shoplifting.
So Fran is Francesca.
Oh,
she's
Francesca,
good
yeah.
friend of you.
Yeah.
She's 15 as well.
She's on the panel.
So, okay, and then what happened next?
So obviously me and Fran didn't do it. So we went to the police station and they sort of reviewed what had happened. And from that, we decided to set up the youth panel because I think there's a lot of stereotypes with young people and the police.
Yeah.
And I think we really wanted to work on that because it's something that's going on in everyday life. And from that, that's how we started the youth panel and how I met Phil.
And do you feel safe in your school? I mean, it's a big question as well, you know, talking about, of course, everybody heard about the knife problem we had all around UK, actually. I mean, more especially in London. But even though, as a mum of two teenagers, I'm quite scared. You know, when the girls go out, I mean, they're 16 and 18. But it just have the feeling that sometimes could be dangerous. Do you have the feeling? You know, are you feeling really safe? And
I do feel safe in school because I don't know. I guess I don't really. I think it's one of the situations where it's like, oh no, it can't happen to you.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's everyday life and anything can happen. So I don't really think about it, but I do feel safe. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you work together, guys? Are you seeing each other quite a lot? What do you do? You know.
What we've done is, since that time, we put together a panel of young people.
Mm-hmm. How many of them now?
We have a team of 8 now, and we're looking to expand that at the moment. So we're recruiting. We want to expand that to about 20.
How do you recruit, actually?
I would go and we would put information through into schools.
Okay.
And then, so we recruited all of our current members by approaching schools directly and asking for people who were interested to get involved.
Okay.
But basically then, we would have at least a meeting once a month to sort of sit down and look at issues, and they could ask us questions and hold us to account as a constabulary, as a police force, or we could ask them questions about what's going on out there and what certain things mean, and, you know, jargon and slang and like terms that you
need some help. Yeah,
we had some real fun actually, like learning where the misconceptions were and stuff, and like me learning like some of the language and stuff that they use, and then like just because I use it then becomes really like it's awful, and they say don't ever say that again. Like somebody told me about on something being on fleek and like being fleeky and stuff like that, and I was like, so like if I used that, like, you know, people would just give me death stares, like, you're not allowed that word.
No, you're too old for that, though.
And I would tell them about things like, you know, like, we had, like, a really funny conversation where I was trying to explain what a Walkman was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a Sony Walkman with a cassette in it, and, like, how when the batteries would run out on your Walkman, you know, the music would go...
I do remember that really well, actually.
And you had to think, is my music getting slow? Like, is it, like... Because it had happened so gradually over a bit that you'd have to change your batteries out.
Mm.
And then they were asking me, like, well, how do you choose what songs you have on your Walkman? And it was like, well, you have to carry cassettes with you, right? So, like, we were talking about all this stuff, like, rubbish technology that we used to have to put up with, like, VHS cassettes.
Yeah.
And
I still have some in my house.
When the tracking goes out on your video and stuff like that, that they're just like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
I can feel that there is a good connection, actually, you know, between you guys, and it's really I think it probably helps a lot to be more close to work on the project. So I see that the Arms Around the Wall is a 3-phase project.
Can you
give me which they are?
So we have, like, the first phase is about the fundraising process, and then it's about getting what we need together resources wise and bringing the young people and their chaperones over from Florida to come over here to stay with us and spend some time with us and go to our schools.
So for that, actually, you organize different charity place to earn the money, and you had a barbecue last weekend.
That's right, and a car wash. So that was down at Sawston. Wow, I didn't realise how much hard work it was washing cars. I have, like, so much respect for people that wash cars all the time. They must be, like, super fit, because, like, I couldn't do it. By the end of that day, I was like, oh, my, I just want to sleep. But, yeah, we raised about £300 last weekend, and we just keep chipping away. We just keep chipping away and doing fundraising events and doing little things. We've done other things. We were in Ely at the market doing, like, just like bucket shaking and speaking to people, and we raised about £300 doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep chipping away, and people make very generous donations, and they're very kind.
Do you know how is your target?
Well, we are now at about £8,500.
Okay.
So we're about £1,500 away from being where we need to be.
Okay.
If we budget like £500 per head in our transport costs for getting people to and from Florida and what we need to do with the number of people that are involved in everything else, then so we're about £1,500 away now, so we're getting very, very close. So it's starting to get tantalizing.
So go back, sorry. We are going back on the 3-phase project. So you talked about the first one.
So the first one is bringing those guys over here, and then we want them, you know, so that they can meet and speak with youth groups and schools, and they can see what it's like over here in the UK, and to have a sample of life as we know it, and they can learn, and we can learn from them over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second phase will be about a contingent of our young people going back to Florida to look at what they've done and look at the impact that what they've been through has had on their town.
And on the community as well.
I mean, like, the conversations we've had with some of those young people and, like, the exchange of messages and stuff, it's the details that you don't realise that makes such an impact and how much of a community is based in its focal points, like schools and churches and places like that, where everybody goes and they share, and how they've said that, like, you know, the erosion of trust since that tragic event happened, and how different authorities have responded to it, and how it's become at times quite a hostile place for young people to kind of grow up and be educated, because of the fact that they're getting things like bag checking, going into schools, knife archers, searches, hall passes, not being allowed in certain parts of certain buildings at certain times, and it becoming far more like they're involved in, like, an institution that we would consider to be more like a prison, where they have lockdown drills and things like that, that we would probably feel would be unimaginable in the school system over here. And some of the stuff and the genuine frustration and the loss. There's one girl that we spoke to, and she literally said to us, like, on that day, she lost, like, 5 friends. Like, literally, that morning, she was part of a group of friends. There was a certain number of them. By the end of that day, 5 of them were gone.
Wow.
And she talked about the loneliness.
Definitely,
you know, and you just think, I didn't really think about that. She's like, the loneliness that she felt, not going around the house anymore, their connection that was broken between their families, and not seeing, having any reason to see their mums and dads anymore, but who had become part of their lives. Absolutely tragic. And I think by vocalising that into our schools, it gives people a broader understanding of the damage that violence does in communities. It's not about scaring people about consequences.
Yeah, obviously.
It's about motivating people and saying, you have the ability to control the kind of community that you want to live in. What kind of a community do you want to live in?
Yeah, definitely. You know? And Molly, did you speak with some of the young people over there? I mean, do you Skype or FaceTime and stuff, and did you speak to some of them?
Yeah, we have spoken to some of them, also via, like, Twitter, sort of just through social media, because social media is such a big thing for people my age, and it's a really easy way to communicate. And I think I think a lot of people focus on the bad sides of social media, but there's also good sides. Like, we've been able to communicate with these people all the way over in Florida and trying to sort of understand what they've been through. And yeah, it was really hard talking to some of them because they do have quite graphic memories of that day and what had happened.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of, it's hard to believe that happened in a school, and that it's the same, like, people my age and, like, having the same sort of friendship groups that I have.
Of course.
And, like, you could never imagine that happening to you.
Yeah, doing the parallel between them and you, maybe, you know, like you said, one morning you go to school and then at the end of the day you just lost 5 friends and... Wow, yeah. And so, yes, in the UK we are confronting an increase in serious street violence and knife crime. Do you have any number? I don't want... You know, but
well, I mean, the last time that the government released its official Home Office statistics, and this is what I say with my sort of my police hat on, is that the difficulty that we've got in a community like Cambridgeshire, and particularly in the south part of the county, is trying to get people not to be too complacent more than anything else, because people expect this to be a problem in Birmingham and Manchester and London and Liverpool. The statistics showed that there was a 35% increase in knife crime nationally. And Cambridgeshire was absolutely, consistent with that rise mm-hmm. in that our county had risen 35% as well. And everybody sort of expects, you know, and that's every county had, some counties had gone up more, some counties had gone up a little bit less, but everybody kind of expects places like, you know, Cambridgeshire to be a quiet, sleepy little place where this stuff doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, it is happening, and we are recording it, and we have had this summer, and in 2019, we have had a spate of young people, predominantly young men,
mm-hmm.
you know, aged 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, who've been victims of serious street violence that have resulted in hospitalizations and life-threatening injuries. And I think it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing that we haven't had a fatality,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, don't know what sort of an impact that would have if we had to deal with that. But one fatality would be a horrific thing for us all to have to deal with. And I think it's better for us to be ahead of the agenda in front of that rather than waiting until something happens. So we've done a lot of work, like going into in and out of schools with that message for young people.
And what the impact, actually, when you are in front of young people, what is the response from them?
I think generally it really depends on the way that you approach it. And if people try to go in, and this is the agenda that surrounds the youth panel as well, is that if you take a presumptuous approach to young people,
mm-hmm.
that's like, I've got to get these kids so scared about knife crime that they, you know, they won't even chop an apple, you know what I mean?
Mm.
That like... That's the way to control young minds. And mm-hmm. actually, if you approach with the perspective of you are young, intelligent people who mm-hmm. are in a few years' time going to be voting, you're going to be out there earning, you're going to be an active, energetic part of what makes up our local area, we'll give you facts, we'll give you honest appraisal of the circumstances. What do you think we should be doing? Become part of the solution.
Mm.
We always get far more engagement and far more willingness to do positive things from that approach than just going into people and saying, you know, if you're out after 9 o'clock, you're going to get stabbed. You know, things like this that aren't true and don't help anybody, you know. But there's the thing is, people have their perspective, and one of the big key agendas for youth panel is challenging the prejudice around young people.
Mm-hmm.
They see young people on the street wearing a hooded top, three or four young people on a street corner just catching up and having a chat, and we will literally get reports as a police organisation saying, what are you going to do about these young people? It's like, why?
Mm.
You know, we have some wonderful young people in our region to
work with. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful young people to work with.
So what is the next step for you? How can the community help you with your project, guys?
I just think, just sort of help out any way you can, really. Like, just getting our message out there, not necessarily having to donate any money, even though it is lovely when people do it and we are really grateful, but just sort of helping us
mm-hmm.
get what we're trying to do out into the world and have as many people know about it as possible. And mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing, because at the end of the day, that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that everyone understands what's happened and how we can help, I guess.
And we have our Twitter channel, which is @CamsYouthPanel, all one word, @CamsYouthPanel. And we have camsyouthpanel.co.uk. I'll double check that, but but you can definitely get us on Twitter @camsyouthpanel.
Yeah.
And yeah, we do. We need to close that £1,500 gap to really bring this
definitely
and get it off the ground. If we can find somebody that can help us to do that, we'd love to make like a link or a connection with like a commercial sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
That would be able to get behind us and feels that this is a really positive initiative that they would associate with their business and their commercial interests. You know, but we just want to make this thing happen, you know, and the more people that get behind it and follow us on Twitter and follow us on social media and get in touch with us, even just to say, hi, I think what you're doing is really good.
Mm.
That gives us the encouragement to keep going.
Of course, yeah, the strength to keep going.
It does. It makes a massive difference. And any person that comes forward and says, look, here's a pound, you know, they're making a difference and they're making it happen.
Mm.
And we get a full range. We've had some staggering generosity from different organisations, you know, that the Catholic Church came forward and gave us £2,500. I just, like, had an email that came through. And they were like, we really believe in what you're doing. This is fantastic. And regardless of what faith, you know, we are a multicultural, inclusive group.
Mm.
Regardless of what background you come from, you know, we welcome people that want to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
So we've seen great generosity. We've seen great kindness, encouragement. All that positivity is really important to us. Really important to us, yeah.
Brilliant. Guys, I'm super late for the travel, but it was worth it so much. Thank you so much, Molly, for coming today and give us your point of view. Thank you, Phil. We will see you. We'll talk to you another time. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.